What is up, you dappled fools? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hit you up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare when you read it for the first time because you have no idea what's going on. Break it down, tell you what it means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I feel like doing this week during the podcast. This week, the word of the week is abase. Abase, an adjective, A-B-A-S-E, meaning lower or cast down. A baseball team filled with players that I would describe as abase is the New York Yankees. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll expose ourselves to wretches, work out the ABCs of Julius Caesar, and take some time to expound upon the fine, fine folks at Delta Airlines and Bank of America who suddenly find themselves with a glut of money in their arts budget for this summer and nowhere to send it. May we suggest patreon.com/ No Holds Barred? But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. I won the coin flip before the show.
Garbage.
And I've elected to go first. So here we go. Question number one. We got the same question in two different ways this week. Mr. Moshkowitz, who is at Mr. Mosh HW, tweeted us at No Holds Barredcast to ask, pretty sure at star-crossed ABC isn't necessary, as Montague and Capulet made peace. What Shakespeare title should be continued? And then my old man Tommy C. emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, so, the new ABC show Still Star-Crossed takes the story of the Montagues and Capulets from the double suicide of R&J and focuses on the rivalry and how it affects Verona going forward. What Shakespeare play would you like to see extended, and what would the main story arcs be? So to answer you both in one fell swoop, there are, you know, it's funny you looking through, like, what could conceivably even continue. And it's like, well, the tragedies, not a lot of characters left to carry over.
Right.
The comedies end with everyone on stage being like, oh, well, got it.
Right. Figured
so
out.
It was a trickier question than I thought it was going to be. But I'm going to go with a play that we kind of avoid on this podcast quite a bit, which is Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, we didn't avoid it. Love Taming of the Shrew, but we don't.
You do. at Dan Bonos on Twitter.
Do love Taming of the Shrew.
I would like to see a sequel to Taming of the Shrew, or I guess this isn't a sequel. This is like, I guess that's the difference here. It's not a sequel. It's like a continuation, because Still Star-Crossed is kind of off in another direction.
Isn't that what a sequel is?
I guess.
What else could a sequel be?
So that's Taming of the Shrew, and it's basically with Kate. I get, shut up. Yeah, I don't know. And then you'd have Kate basically turning around. Taming of the Dude.
Right. What if it's with Drew Bledsoe?
Taming of the Drew.
Taming of the Drew.
Or maybe Lou Maloney, Taming of the Lou.
Taming of the Lou. Yeah. That'd be great.
So there
That's
you go.
Perfect.
Taming of the Shrew.
Wonderful. So I want to get to my answer quickly because I have a problem with the question.
Great.
Which is not surprising. But I would go from Twelfth Night. I'd actually like a Showtime, like in the sense of like The Wire, like a show with a darker edge.
Uh-huh.
Malvolio's Revenge.
Oh,
because he promises us at the end of the play,
that's
I'll be
true.
Revenge on the whole pack of you.
Yeah,
and I'm always interested in like how.
Oh,
so I like a kind of gritty, yeah, like binge watch Malvolio's Revenge. However, this question was Mr. Mosh's version. The question is a good question.
Yeah.
I just didn't quite understand Mosh's, like, which title should be extended.
Uh-huh.
And mercifully, Tommy C, his question is quite clear.
Sure.
So I'll give Tommy C an A+, and Mr. Mosh an A-.
What did Mr. Mosh give you, just for reference?
I don't remember.
I think it was like a B-, maybe?
That's not right.
I don't recall, but that's over wrong. On that. Question number two. Haley Lancaster, who is at Yep, It's Lancaster, tweeted us at No Holds Barred Cast to ask, with hashtag still star-crossed premiering, I must ask, what's the best gateway to Shakespeare that isn't an actual play? Dan.
So for me, this answer is, I saw this tweet and I was like, yes, because the answer came in like 1 second. And it is goodticklebrain.com.
Oh, interesting little plug.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosling. It is a little plug, but also it's great. It's just like straight up, like, it's an easy plug because she's great.
Yeah.
And the comics are like, oh, I want to see that story. And just the approach, that whole, like, it's a fun, accessible, people are scared of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Get to go, okay, I have a fighting chance now.
Right.
And it gives you just enough. That's the whole idea of gateway, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious to know more. This doesn't answer all the questions.
Yeah.
But it gives me a piqued interest and a chance at figuring it out.
Right.
So for that reason and many more, Mia Gosling, goodticklebrain.com.
Yeah, that's a good one. We've kind of talked about this before, but I think for me personally, the gateway into Shakespeare was what we've talked about, which is professional wrestling.
Nice.
That it's like, I mean, for a little boy who's not, you know, I wasn't in the theater until high school, really.
Right.
But I was very into professional wrestling growing up. It was when I enacted Berthold the Huntsman in Snow White.
Of course.
With my star turn. DVDs available at noreencandardo.com. But professional wrestling is the gateway that you don't even think about it as being performance, but it's both dance and theater in the round. In the way that, with the type of groundlings that you are hard-pressed to find in any Shakespeare performance now. So that's how I would trick little boys and girls into getting into Shakespeare from a young age, when they're not ready for verse yet, but that type of in-the-round crowd interaction will resolve these things with fighting.
Right.
In quotes.
Hell in the Cell.
Hell in the Cell.
Money in the Bank.
Professional wrestling.
Ducats in the Bank.
Ducats in the Casket.
Right.
Yeah. Question number three. Finally, Miranda Bishop emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, if Shakespeare's characters were to form an improv comedy team, what would the team be named? A Shakespeare improv comedy team.
Yes.
So there's a joke that I've been making for a very long time that I don't know that I've made on the podcast, and if I have, I don't care. Moblid Queen would be the name of my improv comedy group.
Yes.
Moblid Queen, because then you could be like, hello, we are Moblid Queen, and on your t-shirts would be, quote, Moblid Queen is good, end quote, quote, by Shakespeare.
Right.
And that is technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
Print that paper.
So my crew would be Moblid Queen.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's a quote from Polonius from Hamlet, of course.
Right, of course, from Hamlet. Moblid Queen is good. Miranda Bishop, sending in questions for a very long time, so big shout out to her for another great question here. I like the idea of, in the improv tradition of yes and, translating that into Shakespearean language for I, yes meaning I. So I would go with Prospero's I and. Because I like those. I like the team names that are like a little like, oh, it's a fun play on words.
A little inside baseball, it's a ref.
And also, on Prospero's I end, there's Miranda Bishop, who is just moving in diagonal lines all the time.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Most good. Wonderful.
Okay, that is
and out of all hooping.
Anyways, that is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on Twitter at noholdsbardcast. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbardcast. Shall we do some homework?
Yes, please. Mortals,
perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from Redditor Timinator1400.
Oh, God.
Under the heading Julius Caesar Project Help.
Yeah, well.
Well, they ask.
Oh, a publicist.
Pass. That's they ask. I have to create an ABC book for Julius Caesar, and I cannot find words to go with N, Q, and U. Any help would be appreciated.
What is this?
I have to create an ABC book for Julius Caesar, and I cannot find words to go with N, Q, and U. Any help would be appreciated.
I love it. I love it. This appeals to my categories loving brain.
Yes, that's true. This is in your
right
wheelhouse.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, totally.
Like, amen. However, I could use, can we get a working definition for what an ABC book
is? Sure. So I Googled it and it made me feel like an idiot because it's exactly what you think it is. It's like A is for apple, B is for banana, okay. C is for Condardo, D is for dog. You know.
Daniel. Dan Bodos. D is for Dan Bodos.
I said dog.
Nailed it.
Thanks, dog.
So obviously we're going to do all the letters. I mean, we're doing our ABC book.
Perfect.
We're just going to do N, Q, and U. Come on, that's not what the people are. That's not what the Patreon supporters are paying for, and everyone else is freewheeling on.
You're right. Let's go.
Let's go.
We got A.
Assassination.
Antony.
Antony. We're going to name all the characters.
It's an ABC book.
Well, but it should be like theme. I mean, if it's going to be the no hold, I mean, we could just name things that start with A, but I think that our ABC book, as people operating on a higher level than
higher level indeed.
Timinator 1400, not tonight yet, I think we should be going for like themes, like an ABC book. It's
you
the
want
AB,
to rattle off 26 themes right now? I love it. I'm into it.
It's like if we wanted to slow down, here we go. If we wanted to do an even more abbreviated version of So You're Going to See Shakespeare,
yeah.
And it's just an ABC book of things to look out for.
This is also why you're not good at categories.
Because I'm not good at categories. Scategories is a game that Dan and I do not play anymore because I lose at it every time.
I just crush
it. You are so good at it, and I hate it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm. Can I get that as a sound file, please?
You can have it.
My new ringtone.
It's nice for you to have one thing that you can beat me in, and that's why we never play it.
A, assassination. B, Brutus. C, Cassius.
Oh, characters.
D, Decius,
so we're just
Brutus.
Naming characters.
E, Euphronius.
Okay, so A, assassination. I also don't think we need to go ABC, but like, what are other things? Maybe you can go down the line of other things we should be looking for, and we can fill in. I have the alphabet in front of me. I have it memorized, so I have it conned, so we can...
Nice.
Kind of work it out. We have assassination.
Okay.
What else?
I think Brutus is a pretty good word for B.
Okay.
I know it's a character, but it's pretty critical.
Keep an eye out for Brutus when you go to see Julius Caesar.
Sure.
He's the man to watch.
One of many. Mm-hmm. Also Cassius.
Yeah.
Brutus and Cassius. I mean, let's not be precious here.
Cassius and not Caesar?
I think so.
Okay.
And Cassius is more interesting than Caesar in the play.
All right.
As a character.
What other characters do we want to do?
C. Characters.
Characters. Like TBS, we have characters.
D, design.
Okay.
Is that better for you? Is this what you would like?
We're getting somewhere here.
E, Evian.
The water sponsoring this production. Well, we can come back. We don't need to do it all at once. This isn't like the lightning round.
I think I'm playing categories.
All right, well, keep riding the wave.
What are you thinking for E?
Elephants. I don't know. I don't have anything. We'll come back to it. We'll be back. I was going to say D could be democracy, too, instead of design.
Yeah, I think that's more important for the play. Existential crisis for E, which is what Brutus finds.
Is it an existential crisis?
I think so.
Tell me more about that.
In the sense that it's like, do I do this for my country or do I do it for my... this is someone who I believe in.
Yeah.
But also Rome comes first. Mm-hmm. And I think when we meet Brutus, Brutus is without sleep.
Right.
Brutus is just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
His wife is like, what's going on? You're not talking to me.
Right.
I think it's an existential crisis. Freedom.
Okay.
Cry freedom. Yeah. Tyranny. Liberty.
There tyranny. You go. There's
tyranny,
T.
Liberty.
Freedom.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Tyranny. Liberty.
G.
I gotta work linear. This is really interesting.
You keep going. I'm here to support you.
Okay.
Just give me some answers. I'm here to support you when you're doing work.
I got distracted by that.
All right. Well, get over it.
Okay.
Ghosts.
Ghost of Caesar.
Well, hey, C could also be conspiracy.
It could.
Instead of characters.
I like conspiracy much better.
I know we both do.
If we were playing categories, I would fill in conspiracy after I got all my letters filled
in. Is this going to be a new wild card episode?
Maybe this is what this is. Because I like it.
All right. Stay tuned for that.
How about Shakesagories?
Okay, yep. Shakesagories will be coming.
Pick a play.
We just came up with our wild card for this month. We're going to be playing Shakesagories. If you want to play Shakesagories with us, tweet at us.
That'd be fun.
Okay, good. H.
H, hence. Or no, home. Second word of the play. I mean, the play starts with two H words.
Yep.
Hence, home, the other creatures. But the idea of home is, I think, really important in the play. I, injustice. J, justice. K, killing. L, love.
We already have liberty.
Martellus Simber. Oh, liberty is much better. Liberty.
Oh, should P... Okay. P, I have prophecy. Could it be poetry? Like Sin of the Poet and then poetry overall?
Yeah. Oh, then how about rhetoric for R?
There we go. Yep. Rhetoric. O, omens.
Omens.
Portentous omens.
Yes.
W, war.
War. Do we have... Coming off violence then off of war, we can get violence for V.
Well, now we have I, J, M, N, Q, S, U, X, Y, Z. So we have yet to do the three that he's looking for.
That's okay.
S could be Senate.
Yeah. I mean, the senators.
Yeah. Z is always zebra, as far as I know. Zealot.
Zealotry.
But are they zealots in this? There's not...
There are, or at least they think others may be.
Hmm. Could U be unity?
Yeah.
Because the conspirators have that unity? All right, well, NQ, what do you got? Q, quality.
Questions. I mean, it's a play about questions.
Questioning. About, questioning, there's a lot of questioning. Questioning authority.
Right. Did I do something wrong? Did I do something right?
Is this the right decision? Is this the right course of action?
And nationalism.
Great.
How do you not get nationalism?
Timinator. So, yeah, I mean, that's like 20 of 26 letters, so that's probably fine.
I mean, what are the other six? Let's go. Let's get them. Let's just clean this up.
I, J, M, X, Y, Z. Come on, categories, boy.
Injustice, justice, murder, xenophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Zen and Yorick.
How about zero, the number of people whose hands are clean in this whole play?
I like that very much. That's, now we're thinking. Mm. Now we're going.
Now we're bullshitting.
You know, yes to zero.
And why
is yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So here we go. Here's our XYZ book, Julius Caesar.
All right.
Assassination, Brutus, conspiracy, democracy, existential crisis, freedom, ghosts, home, injustice, justice, killing, liberty, murder, nationalism, omens, poetry, questions, rhetoric, Senate, tyranny, unity, violence, war, xenophobia, yes, zero.
And that sounds like 100 to me.
Julius Caesar. This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is "expose thyself to feel what wretches feel," as featured in Act 3, Scene 4 of King Lear. Let's turn it over to D.A. Rowley to hear the phrase in context.
Good my lord, enter here. Prithee, go in thyself. Seek thine own ease. This tempest will not give me leave to ponder on things would hurt me more. But I'll go in. In, boy. Go first, you houseless poverty. Nay, get thee in, I'll pray, and then I'll sleep. Poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm, how shall your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend you from seasons such as these? Oh, I have taken too little care of this. Take physic, pomp, expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayst shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just.
Thank you, DA. So DA sent this in to promote an upcoming show that he has. They are doing a show called Bard in the Yard 4, Royally Screwed.
What?
In the backyard of the Duncan Little Creek Gallery in Elko, Nevada on June 22nd through the 24th and June 29th through July 1st. That is with the Silver Stage Players, Nevada's oldest theater group. This is a show they do every other year, and the basic concept is to pick a theme and pull out relevant bits from the canon using Puck for their MC. So go check out this. I guess Elko is the halfway point between Salt Lake City and Reno.
Oh, wow.
DA says if anyone does make the trip out, he will buy them a drink. And this is the first time we've had someone send in a sound file in a long time. Which is exciting. But in our new era, in our post-100 episode era, I don't think we can let people get a free plug without at least getting a couple notes from our resident director, Dan Bollier.
Ah,
so,
well.
Dan, would you like to provide a little, some notes to
DA?
Think,
as we're figuring this out, let's start off with maybe like a hot, warm, and a cold note.
Oh, is a little cool? Compliment sandwich.
Yeah, we'll go with, I think...
criticism sandwich, if the criticism is in the middle.
Well, I think it's going to be an escalation. It's less of a sandwich, more of like a slope. I think that...
Like a compliment ice luge.
Yeah. Like the vodka is coming down the ice luge as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the hardest part is going to be at the beginning and the goodness at the end.
Sure.
So I think then that if I could, I'd up the volume on the... Not the volume. I would up... I don't hear the verbs.
Okay.
I don't hear the I'll pray and then I'll sleep.
Uh-huh.
I'll pray and then I'll sleep. Like just the strong verbs.
Yep.
But that's an easy thing to fix. I think that the rhythm and the scansion in the verse is so clear and that's gorgeous. It's nice to hear it.
Uh-huh.
It's in good. Oh, this person knows scan. It's nice. And then I thought that the use of the O was gorgeous. Like that was the most beautiful thing here.
Nice.
Was that it wasn't just oh, but that was like that. I'm freezing.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, really good work.
There you go. All right. Now, why don't you give us a little context, Dan, on where this lands in the play?
Yeah. So, this comes in on the hovel. This is in the middle of the storm. And Lear, they're coming up upon, they've been on the heath, they being Lear and Lear's fool. They are coming up and basically, Lear's like, you get in there first. Go ahead and... And I almost feel like it's possible that this is a moment of connection with Lear and the Fool going like, I apologize for everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I missed this until now,
right.
Somehow.
I think the stage direction, the Fool has gone in, but...
The Fool goes in, he's like, you go in and I'll go, you go in first, I'll pray, and then I'll sleep.
Right. But it could still be an apology whether he hears it or not. For Lear,
totally.
For Lear, that's the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then we head into this actual prayer where Lear is praying for all of the people who are like the Fool and like himself.
Right.
In this moment of like, I have been the king and didn't ever feel this.
Yeah.
I never realized that this is what people are going through.
Right.
Until I'm now naked in the middle of a field getting poured on.
Right.
And it's thunder and lightning.
Right.
And then he has the line, I've taken too little care of this. I didn't take physic pomp. So pomp here is going to be the subject of this charge.
Yeah.
Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayest shake the superflux to them, meaning like that you have so much.
Yeah.
Just shake off the extra.
Yeah.
And when that rain, the image here, the superflux falling off to the wretches, when it rains down on them, the heavens will seem more just because... You can do like you can become a god in a way by sharing what you have with those who don't have anything.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the imagery on this line.
All right, and great. So how can we use this in our everyday conversation?
Well, it reminds me of going to see baseball games at Yankee Stadium, where it's like you're in the bleachers and you're like, look at that moat. It's empty.
The bleacher creatures.
Sure, would love to be there, but can't get in.
Nope.
Like, hey, why don't you just like, I feel kind of wretched back here.
Yeah.
I'm getting, as a Red Sox fan, I'm getting mustard poured on me.
Yep.
Getting hot dogs thrown at me. Wouldn't mind being in a safe place for just a minute.
Like, right.
It's like, why don't you come back here and feel how I feel?
Yeah.
Why don't you come to Fenway, brother?
Yeah, chief.
Like,
come on down, Pally.
Although Fenway fans are not wretches. They're the best.
No, they're hilarious, too.
We are the best.
We are. I think this is a useful thing for an actor. For any actor who's like, oh, I hate... We had the question about playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's like, no. They're not bad guys. They're not evil. Don't play evil. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel. Why does Iago act this way? Why does Aaron act this way? Why does Richard III act this way? Because it's a trap to fall into that. It's like, oh, I'm going to play evil.
Right.
It's like, that's boring.
Find the good.
Why? Well,
even if it's like...
Find the motivation at least. Yeah.
Needle in a haystack.
Exactly.
Maybe come from there and see what you find.
Yeah, find something that you can relate to, that you can grab onto, because there's got to be... You know, if you're playing a character, you have to find something, some piece of truthfulness that you can build off of that.
100%, you know,
and Shakespeare gives all of, everyone has something.
Yeah.
There's something in all of these characters that you can latch onto. So expose thyself to feel what wretches feel.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about in this heat wave that's currently happening, that sense of like, wow, it's really, looks really hot out there. Like, why don't you go outside for like an hour and walk around and like do some running and be like, oh my, oh wow, this is really hot.
Yeah.
It's not just like, wicked heat wave.
Yeah.
It's like, hop outside, feel it, see it, expose yourself to feel what wretches feel.
Right.
It doesn't mean like be a wretch, but it's like, oh, it's so hot out, huh? And it's like, well, yeah, but we're talking about that. As the AC is like blowing on us.
Right, exactly.
It's hot. Go out there and see how it's...
Yeah, go see.
People who don't have, it's like, there's no respite here.
Right. And, you know, another time is to chop someone down who's a little too full of themselves, which is something that we always aspire to use our everyday shakes for. So, it's, you know, it's like, hey, where do you guys want to go? Hey, why don't we go grab a drink? My buddy's the bartender over at, you know, Charlene's on Flatbush. And someone's like, I only drink wine. I only go to wine bars. And it's like, well, hey, how about you expose yourself to feel what wretches feel? And come out to Charlene's for happy hour.
Right.
And we'll just, we'll crush a cup.
Crush a cup of wine, unless they're House Montague. In which case, no wine for you.
No wine, Montagues.
None of that for you. Hmm. How about, like, isn't this a thing that's happening with the immersive theater experience? Where it's like, everyone gets kind of pushed into a spot where that's, like, it's not necessarily so sectionalized in terms of seating. Where it's like, you know, you might get thrown into a moment that is not predictable, or that's not something that's like, I'm in the safe zone.
Right.
It's like, you never know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
There have been shows recently that I've either seen or have had friends who have seen who have been like, I find myself in a really awkward situation because it's not the nature of the beast. And all of a sudden I was like, I didn't observe it. I felt it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did that happen to me? It's like, the director could be like, well, expose yourself to feel what wretches feel.
Right.
To feel what wretches feel.
Like right.
That strong verb there.
Right, because that's something that we're, you know, to theater is always aspiring to make you realize a truth that you haven't noticed before, or to expose you to a thought you haven't had before. And in immersive theater, they can do it by locking you in a room and yelling at you in your face.
And then you're like, I wish I could go. And you're like, are you feeling that? Do you feel?
Yes, I'm feeling like I regret coming. I regret taking this comp to be here is what I'm feeling, because I hate immersive theater.
I love immersive theater.
You know, I want to sit in the back row of the theater with like my head in my hands, like even shows I love, just like as far away as possible. I just want to judge from the back in the darkness. I know everyone will find that hard to believe.
Well, you know what, Kev? I think that you perhaps should expose thyself to feel what wretches feel.
And you are very wretched.
I certainly am.
So there you go. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel. Use it in your everyday conversation. Let's know how it goes. All right, let's bring it home. Plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week. MJ Brady, who is at Buffalo MJ, tweeted us to ask, I am sure I already know your opinions. Care to share your hot take on the Julius Caesar controversy? And so for those of you who haven't seen this story, the big thing is this is set, it's Julius Caesar set in a modern context with Caesar as very clearly Donald Trump in like Saturday Night Live way of being Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And in the climate, obviously the assassination, he is stabbed like a water balloon and covered in blood and left downstage in a pretty graphic, I mean, it's Julius Caesar. So when you have eight dudes stabbing somebody with a bunch of knives, it's going to be pretty graphic. So that is the moment in question that has been splashed all over certain media outlets. Yeah. So, Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that for what it is, if you're sponsoring a theater company, you're sponsoring art, and art doesn't apologize, and you do what you feel is artistically excellent mm-hmm. and matters to you as a company. And I don't think that's up to Delta to decide what they support. Like, that now you're saying, like, we give you money because you tell the story we want you to tell.
Right.
As opposed to being like, we support and trust you as an artist.
Right.
And if that's the sort of person I think great theaters cultivate.
Yeah.
And I think when donors and sponsors are sponsoring, they should be sponsoring the belief in the company.
Right.
Not like, we believe in you until you don't say what we want to hear.
Right.
Which is an epidemic.
Yeah.
Culturally.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, I think, you know, absolutely that donors, sponsors, patrons shouldn't have any right to censor or, you know, they shouldn't need to be consulted for artistic decisions in this way. But also, yeah, they're under no obligation to continue sponsorship.
Right.
You know, and this is the same type of thing Shakespeare had to deal with in his time, that 100%. He had to write to his patrons. And, it, you know, in Shakespeare's time, some of his fellow playwrights would have been executed or thrown into the tower for this.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, this isn't without historical precedent. Is it ugly to have this funding pulled? Yeah.
It's also great press.
Yeah.
And what is it? What's the press phrase?
I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
You know what? Someone else will step. I mean, the show closes on Sunday, so who knows? But someone else has an opportunity to step up. The internet is forever. It's not great, but Shakespeare in the Park will live on and probably grow from this.
Shakespeare in the Park should grow.
Yeah, right? And when you make that type of decision that you're going to stab the sitting president and leave him downstage for a half an hour, like, you're going to get some people's attention. That's a pretty bold choice.
It is a bold choice.
And you got to take the highs and the lows of that.
Right.
Yeah, and especially, yeah.
Bold actors make bold choices. Bold directors make bold choices.
That's right.
And that's what we're trained to do. That's what we're expected to do.
Yeah.
And if any artist, the general we hear.
Yeah.
If artists offend you, why?
Yeah. And I mean, I think you can kind of, this is probably the most no holds barred take on this whole thing. Would be, you don't want to sponsor us anymore? Well, f*** off.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, fine.
You have that right, though.
Don't do me any f***ing favors.
Right.
You know, we already cashed a check this year. We'll find somebody else next year. Hey, they will. Oh, they absolutely will.
Yes, of course. I know. I mean, the other side is donors and sponsors are sponsoring and donating for things that they believe in.
Yes, so of course. But do they? In this instance, they don't.
They don't believe in this. I mean, I think if you look at it from the middle of the road, it's like, well, you sponsored it. You don't like it. You take your money back, or you don't, or you cancel the sponsorship moving forward. It's like, that's better than getting your head cut off.
Yeah,
getting thrown in the tower. Like, mm-hmm. So in some ways, it's like actors have it a little bit better than they had.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
we're moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, but also, like, it sucks to lose that money.
Yeah, of course,
the arts
it's
are underfunded anyway.
Of course, yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's a really for not to. But also, you can't not make bold choices.
Right.
In fear of that.
Right, because then you're just taking away the artist's voice.
Unless they're giving a lot of money. A lot of money, but that is the general manager of me.
So, I'm coming across the table.
So that's our hot take. Megan, are we done with that?
We did
our 3 minutes. We were done with that before we even started it. All right, moving on. Megan, who is at Megan S. Letton on Twitter, tweeted us a link to a This American Life episode called Act 5 about a group of inmates at a high-security prison staging a production of the last scene of Hamlet. I am not one to often recommend This American Life, but I recommend you give this one a listen. It kind of like, I got goosebumps listening to these guys do Hamlet. Have you heard this? It's great. You should check it out. It's episode 218 of This American Life, these maximum security prisoners doing Hamlet and talking about how they've related to it. One of the more interesting things was they were talking about, they frame it like, yeah, sure, this is a play about a person who's afraid to take someone's life being enacted by a full company of people, many of whom have taken someone's life.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting different context.
It's the beauty of Shakespeare behind bars, right?
Yeah.
There's a rumor going around that someone in the room has recently just seen for the first time a little-known musical. What's that? Has seen a portion of a little-known musical called West Side Story.
Yeah, I don't
what
know
do
if you
think?
Guys.
Hot take.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's a musical called West Side Story.
Yeah.
I think it's based on Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
It's pretty, pretty fun. It's a pretty fun
do you
little
like
show.
That?
Yes.
You're enjoying it?
I am enjoying it.
So you're
it.
A Sondheim fan?
I am not. Actually, I think the most interesting thing, and I've like Bob Fosse, I know nothing about dance. I have no rhythm. I basically can't move from my shoulders to my knees. Like
that's the beauty of Fosse. If you, in your current state,
go ahead. Yeah, no, about to make my point. Yes, no, I'm very excited about this.
That's what dance is for. That's what Fosse is for. It's like, you know, you have the broken joints, the broken limbs, yeah. that eccentric movement style.
Well, when I watch it, it's like when I watch other types of dance, like when I watch ballet or like, you know, tap, it's like I cannot do that.
How often do you watch ballet?
I worked at some cultural institutions that had some ballet.
That's not the question.
Once a year?
Okay. All right.
Maybe.
That's more than me.
Yeah. Like that's never going to happen for me.
Okay.
Not just because I'd look terrible in the outfits.
But if you're a Patreon supporter, we could do a ballet off. Just saying.
You've taken a ballet class.
Taken is a very general term. It was an 8 a.m. class. I wrote a note.
Oh, God.
Dear teacher, so sorry.
Please
it's not
help.
You, it's me.
I'll see you at the
Please
bar.
Please just pass me.
Oh, God. But what I like about Fosse dancing is I watch it and I'm like, there is a universe. If I worked on this for 3 hours a day for a year, I could do that number except for the spins that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just heightened movement, which yeah. I think is just such a perfect, it's the dance equivalent of what verse is.
Huh.
That it's like what they're doing in all those dance moves, it's just so clean and so heightened. Like
yeah.
It's not real, but I mean, it's not real. It's not natural.
But it affects you.
But it affects you and it tells a story and it's just heightened movement.
Yeah.
And it like really hit me in a way in my uneducated dance vernacular. And that's what I really took away the most.
Theater and dance degree.
Right. Juniper Fox, who is at Juniper Fox on Twitter, tweeted us to say, just wanted to be sure you know the Mariners have a pitcher named Ariel Miranda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I freaked out last year.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yeah. I was at the stadium. I was at Fenway. And it came up on the board and I was like, is that, wait. And I was this was the night that I dropped my credit card at the bar. I was like, have you been drinking tonight? I'm like, dude, I'm coming from the Sox game. Of course I've been drinking.
Yeah.
I just dropped my card. He's like, you should go. I'm like, thanks. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Bar next door.
Right. Exactly.
I met Mr. Mosh this weekend.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just spiked that.
That's good. Spiking is good. Get excited.
He came. So was he lying to you about not being on the list?
No, there were other Moshkowitzes who left just before. So the whole story here, it's actually pretty amazing. So Mr. Mosh came to Roman Day,
right.
Which was, Seven Stages Shakespeare Company did the four Roman plays in back to back to back to back over the course of 6 hours at Throwback Brewery in Northampton, New Hampshire. And it was an amazing day.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with many, many, many artists who we love from all over the place. And big fan of the pod, Mr. Mosh,
mm-hmm.
HW,
mm-hmm.
came through. An A-minus man.
I believe you're an A-minus man. He would say the same about you.
I'm happy to be an A-minus man. That's a great man to be.
Mm.
He was awesome. It was so cool. When he came in, it was the experiences had begun. And the whole day is like, it's just a marathon.
It's four plays in 6 hours. It's chaos. Yeah.
90-something degree heat in the blistering sun at a brewery. So the beers are going. It's like, okay, here we go. We got this. The waters are going. We had some tents that they put up, which was awesome. The audience was shaded. Some people were sitting in the sun working on their summer tans.
Sure.
I had this stupid tan line now on my head because I was wearing a hat for the first three. I was like, I forgot to take my hat off. It's like, God. Damn
it's
it,
over.
My summer's ruined.
The die is cast.
And I must stand the hazard of the die, indeed. You wear my hat too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're running around, and he came in. I'm like, are you Steve? Because I thought I knew this guy. And he's like, yeah. And I think he misheard me. I misheard him.
Yeah.
So we sat down, and then we had a reserved seat right in the front. And then like 2.5 hours later, he's like, hey, I've got to go, but I'm Mr. Mosh. And I was like, what? Like, freaked out. And I just, in the chaos of a Shakespearean, which if you haven't been to, it's chaos.
Yeah.
We just misheard each other.
That's hilarious.
And he's like, yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that you knew who I was. I'm like, I didn't, but you got a great seat because I misheard who you were. And how cool is it to meet you?
Yeah.
So I was kind of fanboying out at meeting Mr. Mosh.
That's very funny.
I always love teachers, and especially ones that don't give me the A+ in the first try. We had a great conversation about
playing
my
hard
grade.
To get. That's good.
Playing hard to get. Also, you know, he's a good man. He's a good man. I met his lovely wife. Oh, it was nice. It was actually really. It was a really cool
Mrs. Mosh HW.
Mrs. Mosh, but as the damn kids would say, no pics, no proof. But we weren't snapping pics. We had things to do, and it was awesome. It was really cool to meet a fan of the podcast and someone who is there. And it was so sad because the other Moshes had just left.
Uh-huh.
And when they came in, I met them and they're like, Mosh pitched for three? And I was like, there's no Mr. Mosh here.
Fake Moshes.
Fake Moshes.
This is the Mosh Pits.
Shakespeare's great in Mosh Pits. Basically, Shakespeare's audience is a Mosh Pit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really cool to meet Mr. Mosh. So, everyone else who's listening, why weren't you there?
Right.
Steph Krugnola, who is at Kruggles, C-R-U-G-G-L-E-Z, tweeted a response to our favorite Shakespeare character only mentioned or appearing in a single scene question that we covered in the duel last week. She writes, quote, Leonardo's ghost wife Imogen as like a super naggy mother-in-law to Claudio, always going on about remember that time you blah blah to guilt him into stuff, which is an amazing pull because I'm like, Imogen Leonardo's ghost wife? I don't remember that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
Because Imogen only appears as the name of a non-speaking ghost character in the 1600 quarto of Much Ado. That is news to me.
You studied with David Richman. He talks about Imogen all the time.
Imogen in Cymbeline.
Oh, and the Silent Wife.
I missed it.
David, call Kevin.
He's angrily.
He has your number. He's going to call you.
He's angrily banging his desk at me right now. Marsha, we actually got a bunch of action on this favorite #nothing characters. Marshall B. Garrett said Adrian and Nicanor from Coriolanus. I don't know.
Cut.
Yeah, right. I've never actually seen the main production of Coriolanus.
That's a great qualifier for these answers. We're like, never heard of it.
Right.
Although Imogen and Patrick Davis. All right. But these folks, I actually have never heard of.
Marshall B. And Marshall's Twitter handle is at Marshall B or not B.
Very good.
Very nice. And also his tweet is Adrian and Nicanor from Coriolanus. The whole play that he's imagining here is in the style of John and Abby's letters in 1776. This is a man who knows his audience, which is how he gets his tweets read on the podcast.
That is right.
Charlene Smith, who is at Charlene V. Smith on Twitter, tweeted us with another nothing character, the Three Queens from Two Noble Kinsmen, which is also my favorite Spin Doctors song. Finally, Miranda Bishop emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with an email having the subject line in all caps.
The most important nothing character is Lady Macduff.
Yelling at me from our inbox, she writes.
How can you call Lady Macduff a nothing character?
Our definition of a nothing, quote unquote, nothing character was you're only in one scene.
Oh, okay.
And Lady Macduff only has one scene.
That's the answer.
The most important nothing character in all of Shakespeare is clearly Lady Macduff. She only gets one scene, but dear Lord, it is a scene. It says so much about betrayal and honor and honesty and innocence and is literally full of lines that are deeply thematic for the play as a whole. Also, her death and the death of her sons becomes a massive catalyst for Macduff as he later storms Dunsinane to murder Macbeth and avenge his fallen wife and babes. So yeah, lots of caps. So yeah, Lady Macduff for the win.
I like it.
I like, and Miranda, we talked before about her being a great, a frequent duel contributor.
Yeah.
Miranda has sent a couple dozen emails, and I've never seen her use caps, and this
She's
email
fired
is
up.
Half caps.
Fired up.
I picture her actually yelling at the screen while she's typing this email.
Maybe she is the patron saint of this nothing character telling you, hey, everyone else, expose thyself to feel what wretches feel.
Oh.
And that's why she had to use the all caps, because that's like the, hey, I'm Miranda Bishop.
Yeah.
I'm giving you how I feel right here.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I love, click over on Facebook to the heart, the fact that... She was like, I can't tweet you this. I'm taking this to email.
There aren't enough characters.
I'm
going
to move diagonally to my computer and send you an email right now. I love it. Charlene V. Smith was also very active. The V is for very active in Charlene V. Smith-Sigouris on Twitter this week. She tweeted, honestly, at No Holds Broadcast, Dan's answer about artificial magic versus the real magic of love is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't agree more.
I know. Well, you know, I think once every 104 episodes, you really crush something, and I'm glad that somebody was brave enough to point it out.
So I have 103 episodes off?
I mean...
That sounds great.
You're well on your way.
Don't threaten me with a good night's sleep.
If you like the show and you'd like to kick us a few bucks, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com. No holds barred. If you donate $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get in on our 12-night card list next January and also have access to other special benefits, most immediately getting on board to have an event in our Battle for the Golden Banana that we'll be doing later this summer, where Dan and I will be competing for who is top banana on this program by competing in a series of...
Physical challenges. What's that show?
Wild Dare, and Crazy
Double
Kids.
Double Dare.
Yeah, Physical Challenge. Kids, yeah. So Dan and I will be competing against each other in a one-day showdown of events, and you can come up with an event that we can complete in 15 minutes or less.
Somebody oh, God.
In 15 minutes or left, if you are a $3 donor by June 30, you can do that at patreon.com.
What slash am I on?
No holds barred. We'd like to thank our newest Patreon patrons from this couple of weeks, James Kimball and Danielle Welton. Thank you so much. James and Danielle.
James is a great tweeter.
Yes, he is.
He retweets a lot of stuff. I'm like, ah, oh, it's great stuff.
If you don't have the means or interest in supporting us financially but still want to help us out, you can absolutely do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcasts. We got two new reviews this week. We are now at 92 ratings. I had asked for 100 by my birthday.
I have more banter.
Yeah.
Hey, Kev.
Yo.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you saying happy birthday at your iPod.
There were some nice birthday tweets. I saw some birthday ones. I know that you wouldn't bring them up, but I saw. Oh, I got one. I have a specific tweet here.
Oh, boy.
From our very active Charlene, very active Smith, who tweeted, happy birthday at Fear Strikes Out. I'm so glad to have met you and to have No Holds Broadcast in my life.
That's very sweet.
I think she meant the second half more than the first.
Justifiably so.
But everyone gets a lie on their birthday.
I'll take it. I will take those positive lies coming in my direction. I am not too proud.
I see you what you are.
I see you.
You are too proud.
Maybe.
That's how it scans, actually.
Mm.
That's cool. I never really heard that line that way.
The new reviews on iTunes. Little White Tiger writes, a draw for novices, a delight for devotees. Kevin and Dan are the real deal. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Real, R-E-A-L?
R-E-A-L,
or
yes.
Like we're fishing.
R-E-A-L.
The real deal.
Angling.
Mm.
And Rosa Mariposa King writes, Yeah, it's a great name.
It's a great name.
A real pleasure to listen to. My mom is a director and still mourning the loss of her Shakespeare company that went down during the recession, and she loves these guys.
Oh.
I think they give her hope.
Oh.
I know.
All men, I hope, live so. Richard yes. III.
Well, what
hope
I want to know
is... Hope is a beautiful thing.
It is. And I want to know where Rosa
Mariposa King.
You say it much better than I do. Where are you guys? Where are you? We have a director who is mourning the loss of her Shakespeare company. Let's get her to work. Where are you?
Yeah.
Let's connect you with someone.
Yeah, come on. Hook it up.
Send us an email and let us know where that is.
Right?
Yeah.
The doors are always open at Seven Stages.
Absolutely. Shakespeare Network, you know. All it takes to be a part of the No Holds Barred Network is to lie to Dan and I about how much you like us. And we'll do whatever. Word of the week. I want to say diagonal.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
This is equivocation here. No.
Is it equivocation?
No. No. I would never be such an abase person to say something like that.
It's abase.
No, sorry. It's Rosa Mariposa King. It's abase.
Okay, well, that doesn't count because you said it at the last second. I'm not going to take credit for you literally saying it.
That's fair.
I said
it earlier, but there's no way it's made it through the cut. It was in the middle of this.
This was a heavily cut episode.
Yeah. I know when I said it, I'm like, it's not making it. Yeah.
There were some things that we cut from this episode to preserve our sponsors. All right. Oh. Oh, there was one more thing. We got a little constructive... Oh, I'm glad I almost forgot this. We got a little constructive criticism tweeted our way this week at No Holds Barredcast. This person writes, quote, "Stop screaming Slash. Not funny to anyone. If you stop, then I will give positive iTunes review." So, Dan, I think...
You used the phrase, "this person." I noticed that we usually use names on this podcast. Would you like to out this person?
I think it would be better for us to not.
I agree.
So, but I also...
However, this person can go f*** themselves. Because I've been doing my damnedest to self-edit. I mean, I'm wondering if this person is listening to old eps and hasn't caught up yet. But I've been like slashing back here.
Yeah.
I've actually been kinder of late.
Yeah. This is kind you offer.
This were kindness. Mm. Which is, it's in the play that same way. It's perfect. Merchant of Venice. but it is so upsetting to receive a note from a nobody. This person has like 12 friends on Twitter.
Cool. Well, I guess they're not following us anymore. I mean,
150. So I'm killing it.
I'd like to speak to this person and say that, yeah, whatever Dan's saying right now, I understand if you don't want to listen to the podcast anymore based on what we were talking about earlier.
I hope you don't.
Please continue downloading, though. Just keep downloading. Leave it in
your... Everyone else can listen.
Leave it in your download queue.
But my slashes are great. Slash.
Yeah, I mean, that is, in all fairness...
Just another person trying to take away an artist's voice.
In all fairness, not funny to anyone. I do laugh every time. So, one person. All right, that is going to do it for us for this week. To keep in touch until next time, you can find us on the web at noholdsbarred.com. You can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. Tweet us at Twitter @noholdsbarredcast or like us on Facebook at facebook.com. Holds Bard Cast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh shoot, we didn't sufficiently butter up the B of A and Delta folks, but if they want to get in touch with us, they can definitely say hi to us at patreon.com/noholdsbarred, and we promise not to kill any major political leaders in effigy this season. We promise. We double promise. Ah, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Kevin.
I am Dan. I forgot to do the scan.